Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
News brief. Word from Israel today. The bodies of Hananya Blanca, Michael Nissenbaum, and Orion Hernandez, killed on October 7th, have been recovered from Gaza. The BBC's Dan Johnson.
No one had expected these hostages to be brought back alive because the IDF had already got evidence that they'd been killed during the Hamas attacks of October the 7th.
House Speaker Mike Johnson made the announcement. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will address a joint session of Congress soon.
We will soon be hosting Prime Minister Netanyahu at the Capitol for a joint session of Congress.
Yes. The International Court of Justice is expected to rule today on a request to order a ceasefire in Gaza. Headed somewhere fun this Memorial Day weekend, CBS's Chris Van Cleef says price will add up.
Eating out and what you do on vacation, that was where you're really going to see it on the credit card bill at the end of the month.
The average cost of eating out is up 40% over this time last year. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin delegates and alternates to the Republican National Convention include two people who served as fake electors in 2020. Pam Travis and Bob Spindell signed documents to cast Wisconsin's electoral votes for Donald Trump, even though Joe Biden had won. Hunters and fishers in Wisconsin are keeping a close eye on work on the 2024 federal farm bill. Aaron Sandquist with Pheasants Forever says the bill needs strong private land conservation protection.
We have a lot of needs in states like Minnesota and Wisconsin, particularly in the prairie areas, and private land habitat provided by the Farm Bill, like CRP, is critically important.
Advocates say 40 million people would lose access to hunting and fishing opportunities without the Conservation Reserve Program. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers OTAs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports reporting from Boston. The Packers wasted no time this week during OTAs to challenge second-year kicker Anders Carlson, who led the league in missed field goal attempts his rookie season. Former Vikings kicker Greg Joseph was 3-for-3 from 47 yards out. Carlson, 2-for-3.
When you're in the NFL, your talent's pretty good. I think over time, results will pay off, so just trusting the process.
NBA playoffs. The Celtics beating the Pacers again here in Boston, 126-110. Tyrese Halliburton from Oshkosh suffering a hamstring injury for Indiana. He's questionable for Game 3. Baseball tonight at Fenway Park as the Red Sox host the Brewers. Boston in third place behind the Yankees and the Orioles in the American League. The Brewers losing that series to the Marlins in Miami.
Yeah, that's how baseball goes. You know, you just have to keep going. You know, you're going to go through some tough stretches. You're going to go through some great stretches, but that's why you keep putting the work in, keep grinding, and eventually it'll start going your way.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich from Boston with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of, like, the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now, from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we welcome in our ongoing contributors, Brady Ewing of the Badger football team and Peter Rapine with a Week in Review. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We'll see a little sunshine at times through early this afternoon, then scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. A high today, 67. We'll clear tonight, 53. Tomorrow, sunny, 72. With more scattered thunderstorms Sunday and Memorial Day, with highs in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Matt Nair on Air.
Dr. Karen Tamirius. She's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Civic Media.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone. From her mouth to the field's ears, this is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Oh, and I'm afraid those fields are going to be muddy again by the end of the day. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Friday, and I'm Farm Director Pam Youngke. Yeah, this is not exactly what a lot of folks were hoping for on Memorial Weekend. Today, we've got a pretty active weather pattern that's going to be moving across the state, starting as soon as mid-morning this morning. In southwest Wisconsin, western Wisconsin. In fact, the day could unfold to include wind, hail, maybe even an isolated tornado. Our daytime highs today expected to be right around 73 degrees. Tomorrow, sunshine and dry. That's wonderful news for the Greene County Breakfast on the Farm that's going to be kicking off our June dairy celebrations down in Monticello. But then Sunday, more thunderstorms circle back around. 63 are expected high. And even Monday, we've got a possibility of some rain in the forecast. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, has your Memorial Weekend forecast on the way. Yesterday, Wisconsin welcomed U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. He made a visit to Kewaunee County, where he announced $83 million were being invested in what they call the Fertilizer Production Expansion Program. You say, well, now, wait a minute, what does that have to do with Wisconsin? Well, believe it or not, a dairy in Casco, Wisconsin, picked up one of those grants and is turning it into organic fertilizer from their dairy cows. You'll hear from J.J. Pagel at Dairy Dreams about that project, and we'll also hear from U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack about his concerns on the work done yesterday by the U.S. House of Representatives to try to get a 2024 farm bill done. But first, let's talk about a lawsuit being brought by two wedding barn venue owners here in the state of Wisconsin against the state. January of 2026, a bill is due to become law that would basically knock a lot of those wedding barn venues out of business. Lucas Weber is deputy counsel for WIL. WIL stands for Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. And he's suing the state, saying that they are taking away some of the rights that those wedding barn venue owners have. We'll get those details in just a moment. First, Lucas Weber, explain to me what WIL is all about.
Yeah, thank you. So WIL, or the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, is a nonpartisan, nonprofit law and policy center based out of Milwaukee. So we are dedicated to individual freedom, to building communities and culture that can form the basis of a well-lived life. So we seek to support research, litigation, policy, education, study, defense, things that help individuals take initiative and lead to ordered liberty and prosperity for strong families and vibrant communities all around Wisconsin and all around nationally. So a lot of our work is litigation work, and it typically focuses on helping individuals who find themselves in the crosshairs of government or wronged in some way by government. And we don't charge our clients. We take these fights and represent their interests to improve individual liberty all around the country.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's take a look at what's been passed by the State House already that we're focused in on as far as the ramifications to our wedding event space and when this new facet of Wisconsin law is scheduled to take place. Explain the policy that's now become quite problematic for a lot of families that are out there not only operating those venue spots, but a lot of families that were planning on having daughter's wedding there or husband's event there. This kind of puts a screeching halt in a lot of areas.
It does, and these particular changes mostly take effect on January 1 of 2026. So you've got this year and all of next year before it does come into effect. But What happened is forever, basically, under Wisconsin law, you've needed a liquor license for the sale of alcohol, which I think everybody understands. But you also need a liquor license if you are consuming alcohol in what is called a public place. Now, public place was previously not defined under state law, but thanks to a law that was passed last fall, public place, the definition was implemented, and it was a very expansive definition that includes virtually any location in the state of Wisconsin that is available for rent. Now, the law does make a number of exemptions, but unfortunately, wedding barns are not exempted from the law.
Well, and that is problematic right there, because when you start taking a look at the exemption spaces, my goodness, it seems like everything but wedding venues, wedding barns, were basically grandfathered out or forgiven out.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you are located in a professional baseball or football stadium district, so, you know, you're Green Bay or Milwaukee, you're exempt. Parking lots are exempt. Facilities that are owned by municipalities, counties, parks, private colleges, even clubs are all exempt from the law. Unfortunately, though, entrepreneurial farmers who are in more rural Wisconsin are not exempt from the law, and they find themselves in the crosshairs of government.
They also seem to pit neighbor against neighbor, though, in that regard, because if I'm a vineyard, if I'm a microbrew, something like that, those folks seem to welcome these changes that were promoted by the Tavern League.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the bill itself, we call it Act 73, that was adopted last fall, did a whole lot of things to our state's alcohol regulation laws. It's hundreds of pages long. The public place changes that I'm referring to here are just one small piece of that. So there was a lot of change in the bill, and there were a lot of people supporting kind of other elements of the bill, and frankly, people who supported this part of the bill as well.
Again, if you're just joining us, this is Lucas Weber. He is deputy counsel with WILL, a nonprofit in the Milwaukee area that's taken up the issue with that has been offered from Fairview Farms in Berlin, Wedding Events Farm and Monarch Farms, also in western Wisconsin. That's one of the other questions I had for you, Lucas. How did you come across these two operators? Did they come to you together? Did you put them together? I'm just wondering about the momentum we're now seeing build from these venue owners that have invested a lot of time, sweat, and money into their facilities to try to get this business model up and going, and now all of a sudden it's pulled out from underneath them. What kind of groundswell have you heard from others, or is it just two so far?
Yeah, so we've heard from a lot of barns all around the state of Wisconsin and other event venues who are impacted by this change. We are only representing those two in the lawsuit. You know, we try to put together the best case we have, and we think our clients give us that opportunity. So we filed this case challenging those changes that I just described last week. We filed that in state court, and that process is now ongoing.
Now, tell me what happens from here, Lucas. I think that most of us that are familiar with these venues and have been at wedding barns, et cetera, kind of understand why owners are a little dumbfounded at how they're supposed to move forward. What's your game plan? You are filing this in, or you filed in Trempealeau County. What happens next, and how should venues, wedding barns, kind of keep track of this conversation?
Yeah, so, you know, the litigation process takes time. Anybody who's ever been involved in court proceeding knows that it probably takes more time than anybody would like. As I said, these changes go into effect in January of 26. So we're going to do everything we can to try and get relief for our clients and other similarly situated venues as quickly as we can. But the litigation process is just now beginning. So, you know, they'll have to answer the lawsuit. Then we'll kind of get into more of the factual discovery there, and then some of the motions and stuff like that will come after that. But we are hopeful that we'll be able to have this wrapped up well in advance of the January 2026 implementation date. And that's important because obviously people plan their events years in advance, right? People don't plan a wedding on a whim. These events need a lot of planning. They're well thought out, and these businesses are hurting right now because of this law. So we want to make sure we get some relief as soon as we can.
Lucas Weber is deputy counsel for WILL, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, headquartered in Milwaukee. He is currently representing two wedding barn owners, Farmview Event Barn in Berlin, and also the Monarch Valley Wedding and Events Barn in Blair, Wisconsin. The lawsuit was filed in Trempealeau County Circuit Court, and as Weber said, they are still waiting for reaction from the states. We'll keep you posted on that one, as always. Tune to MidwestFarmReport.com for the latest. Coming up next, what's the latest as far as our weather for the Memorial weekend? Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, on the way with the details.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 11 of 18 Arizona 2020 fake electors and Trump election lawyers were arraigned May 21st on 9 felony counts after being indicted by a grand jury April 26th. Former President Donald Trump was named as an unindicted co-conspirator. The 11 arraigned May 21st were a Republican state senator, 8 GOP activists, including a Republican national committeeman, and 2 of Donald Trump's allies, including Rudy Giuliani and Republican National Committee election lawyer Christina Bobb. Another alleged central figure, John Eastman, was arraigned earlier. Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and 4 others will be arraigned in June. All 18 defendants are charged with fraudulent schemes to deceive and practice of that deception, forgery, changing the vote of an elector by corrupt means or inducement, tampering with a public record, and presenting false instrument for filing. All have pleaded not guilty. Of the 7 states where GOP activists created a substitute slate of presidential electors, 4 state attorneys general have brought charges: Michigan, Nevada, Georgia, and Arizona. 3 others, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and New Mexico, have either chosen not to bring criminal charges or cited a lack of grounds for indictment. Michigan held preliminary hearings in April, where 15 defendants faced trial. Pretrial motions are being heard in Nevada for 6 other defendants. See the unredacted indictment at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll check in with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel on the final chapters of Donald Trump's hush money election interference trial.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Being distributed to focus in on the domestic source of fertilizer. Now, you may say, why in the world did they come to Wisconsin? Well, one of the reasons why they were in Wisconsin is because Dairy Dreams out of Casco received some of those grant monies. We'll hear more from them in just a moment. I did get a chance to visit with U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack as he was en route from one destination to the other, and we talked a little bit about what's happening with the Farm Bill.
I have concerns about its ability to get passed through the system. I mean, it's all well and good to have a conversation about, a perfect world and what you'd like to see satisfying everybody and everything, but not all of that's doable. Not all of it's doable, especially if you have to cross red lines that have been established very clearly in terms that can't be touched or impacted to pay for new programs or new commitments.
That's U.S. Secretary Tom Vilsack, U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, chatting with me while he was in Wisconsin yesterday. As we were speaking, the U.S. House representatives had worked on markup for the 2024 Farm Bill. Now, some of the items that Vilsack is most concerned about are not, shall we say, traditionally funded items. In their version of the 2024 Farm Bill, the House has adopted continuing to maintain SNAP benefits, also continuing to advance rural broadband investment, taking a look at the federal milk marketing orders and moving to the higher of, which makes sense to our Wisconsin dairy farmers. But there's other elements that are included in the 2024 Farm Bill on the House side, including items like the whole milk program for healthy kids. That's where Vilsack says he's concerned that the eyes are bigger than the pie. There are more asks than there are financial availabilities. We'll wait and see how that works out. One person that's happy to see some progress on the farm bill, J.J. Pagel from Dairy Dreams. He hosted U.S. Secretary Vilsack yesterday, and J.J. told me one of the things that he brought up to the secretary was his frustration at lack of movement on that policy.
I'm kind of uneasy. I'm waiting for things to come out, and you know, we had a really nice jump last week in class 3 milk, and then, you know, it came back real quick on us, and it's been so volatile lately. And what I'd like to see out there is more of a consistent milk price across the board, because it's really hard for dairy men and women to try to run a facility when your milk price can jump $1.50 to $2 in 7 days and try to figure out, you know, how to pay the bills.
Any business person can understand that. J.J. Pagel, again, one of the owners and operators of Dairy Dreams out of Casco, Wisconsin, playing host yesterday to U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. And like I said, we're watching what's happening. They promised that they were going to mark up the farm bill out in Washington, D.C. They did it on the House side. Now the Senate just trying to get enough momentum so that they can follow suit. That's a story that we'll continue to follow. Weather is something that we absolutely must follow going into the Memorial weekend. Time for our Compere Financial Ag weather updates. Stumacher Ag meteorologist joining us this morning. Boy, oh boy, buddy, I don't like what I see coming our way today. You know, we've got Green County Breakfast on the farm outside of Monticello tomorrow morning. Those volunteers, it sounds like they're going to be working in a little mud today, huh?
They will be, unfortunately, dealing with a lot of water and probably some mud today as they try and prepare and get ready. I mean, the radar picture tells it all. There's a big band of rain and some heavy rains from southwest Minnesota into western Iowa, a little leading band that hits up just toward the western edge of Illinois. I mean, you look at Iowa, and we have flood watches in effect this morning, severe thunderstorm watch, severe thunderstorm warning. That's all in that northeast part of Iowa, just west and south of Prairie du Chien, Lancaster, just west of Illinois. Low pressures out to the west, a warm front trying to draw up through Illinois, helping fire off this rain. That low is forecast to head right for Wisconsin. You know, that means we'll see some showers, probably a couple of waves. An initial wave this morning marching from west to east, followed up again later today into tonight. And unfortunately, rainfall amounts adding up in the half to 1-inch range aren't out of the question, even heavier in southern Wisconsin. Severe weather, not an issue yet, I'd expect this morning, maybe strong winds. The possibility of stronger storms later today on toward this evening as the second part moves through. There'll be another low with, how about that, more rain. And that edges in as we head on through Sunday and into Sunday night, and could also mean some pretty wet conditions in store. Maybe not going to ruin all day Memorial Day Monday. Some sun comes out again, but it could be wet leading into that day. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Are rising utility bills putting a strain on your farm's bottom line?
Focus on Energy can identify energy efficiency upgrades designed to help you save for years to come.
Kickstart a more energy efficient future for your farm. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness to learn more.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, supporting Wisconsin's farmers since 2001.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Oh, heading into Memorial weekend. Stu, I got 18-year-old nephew Jaden getting going through graduation on Sunday. And for a change, I'm glad it's not going to be outdoors with this crazy weather.
Yeah, a little better idea to be inside this weekend, as timing is all the deal. And our Compere Financial Ag weather update does include those showers and thunderstorms developing this morning from west to east, and then again later today. Mostly cloudy skies in between, and temps in the low to mid 70s. Not a bad day at this time of the year. Southeast winds get stronger, 5 to 15. They gust to 25. Showers and thunderstorms yet tonight, like I've said, at least a half to an inch heavier in southern Wisconsin. Wisconsin. Clouds early tonight clearing out as rain pushes east. Temps drop into the upper 40s, and winds will become west and northwest at 5 to 15. Mostly sunny Saturday, not a bad day. Low 70s. Clouds build in the west, though, later in the day. And by Sunday, even late Saturday night, showers, thunderstorms developing, mostly cloudy Sunday, Pam. Upper 60s with the southeast winds 5 to 15, but there's some indication Sunday could be an inch or two.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Here come the ducks. All right, buddy, we'll have to go with that and just keep an eye on it through the weekend. Appreciate it. Have a good Memorial weekend.
Hey, you too. See you later.
All right, Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist with the weather details you probably do not want to hear, but stay tuned and keep your ear to the radio for all the updates through the weekend, that's for sure.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Flood risk can change over time, and a community's flood insurance rate map shows how those risks could affect you. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, has developed preliminary flood insurance rate maps for Washington County. FEMA also provides an appeals process for anyone with information that may change their flood hazard determination. To view maps, find a property's risk level, and details on the appeals process, please visit dnrwi.gov and search Washington County Flood Maps. This message is brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and FEMA.
One of the state's biggest and best farmers markets is right here in Waukesha. Join thousands of your neighbors this Saturday morning between 8 and noon at the corner of St. Paul and Madison along the Fox River. Fresh produce, crafts, flowers, food, and gift ideas of all kinds are on display and on sale. We'll check in live each Saturday morning on WAUK, too. Plan to stock up this Saturday at the Waukesha Farmers Market and stop by our WAUK tent to say hi and register to win a brand new Logger bike. We can't wait to see you.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing.
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
News brief. Word from Israel today. The bodies of Hananya Blanca, Michael Nissenbaum, and Orion Hernandez, killed on October 7th, have been recovered from Gaza. The BBC's Dan Johnson.
No one had expected these hostages to be brought back alive because the IDF had already got evidence that they'd been killed during the Hamas attacks of October the 7th.
House Speaker Mike Johnson made the announcement. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will address a joint session of Congress soon.
We will soon be hosting Prime Minister Netanyahu at the Capitol for a joint session of Congress.
Yes. The International Court of Justice is expected to rule today on a request to order a ceasefire in Gaza. Headed somewhere fun this Memorial Day weekend, CBS's Chris Van Cleef says price will add up.
Eating out and what you do on vacation, that was where you're really going to see it on the credit card bill at the end of the month.
The average cost of eating out is up 40% over this time last year. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin delegates and alternates to the Republican National Convention include two people who served as fake electors in 2020. Pam Travis and Bob Spindell signed documents to cast Wisconsin's electoral votes for Donald Trump, even though Joe Biden had won. Hunters and fishers in Wisconsin are keeping a close eye on work on the 2024 federal farm bill. Aaron Sandquist with Pheasants Forever says the bill needs strong private land conservation protection.
We have a lot of needs in states like Minnesota and Wisconsin, particularly in the prairie areas, and private land habitat provided by the Farm Bill, like CRP, is critically important.
Advocates say 40 million people would lose access to hunting and fishing opportunities without the Conservation Reserve Program. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers OTAs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports reporting from Boston. The Packers wasted no time this week during OTAs to challenge second-year kicker Anders Carlson, who led the league in missed field goal attempts his rookie season. Former Vikings kicker Greg Joseph was 3-for-3 from 47 yards out. Carlson, 2-for-3.
When you're in the NFL, your talent's pretty good. I think over time, results will pay off, so just trusting the process.
NBA playoffs. The Celtics beating the Pacers again here in Boston, 126-110. Tyrese Halliburton from Oshkosh suffering a hamstring injury for Indiana. He's questionable for Game 3. Baseball tonight at Fenway Park as the Red Sox host the Brewers. Boston in third place behind the Yankees and the Orioles in the American League. The Brewers losing that series to the Marlins in Miami.
Yeah, that's how baseball goes, you know, you just have to keep going. You know, you're going to go through some tough stretches. You're going to go through some great stretches, but that's why you keep putting the work in, keep grinding, and eventually it'll start going your way.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich from Boston with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday for a special Best of Devil's Advocates. Never Trumper, former Congressman Joe Walsh, and my Congressman Mark Polkian.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We'll see a little sunshine at times through early this afternoon, then scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. A high today, 67. We'll clear tonight, 53. Tomorrow, sunny, 72. With more scattered thunderstorms Sunday and Memorial Day with highs in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Hi, I'm Jenny, manager of a brand new store in town called Big Deals. It's not a brick and mortar store, but rather an online marketplace. What makes this place so great is it's filled with gift certificates to local businesses in town. Shop local, buy local, and save money. That's our motto, Big Deals. It's kind of a big deal.
The WAUK Big Deals store is now open. Click the Big Deals tab at waukradio.com.
Hey, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. All right, we have all had that moment where it is hard to resist an impulse purchase. Last year, I bought this heart-shaped waffle maker because I was like, won't that make Saturday morning so much fun? Well, it turns out when you don't use the darn thing, you don't have that much fun. So here are two ideas to help all of us cut back on spur-of-the-moment spending. First, unfollow your favorite brands on social media. Last year, companies spent $68 billion advertising to us on social media. They know that stuff works. And second, make a wish list. I love this. I keep mine in the notes section on my phone. When I see something in a store or online, and I didn't have a plan to buy it, but I really want it, I put it on my wish list. And if I still want it a week later, I check my budget and I see if I can afford it. Somehow, I don't think the waffle maker would have made the cut. For more tips on spending less and making more, head on over to workmoney.org. Take good care.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually a really good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that.
You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills, and on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Because we know your barn smells like money. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
I think there's smell of rain in the air for Friday morning. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Youngke, and we do have to be paying attention to this weather system. It's probably going to start rolling into the state, maybe far southwest Wisconsin by about 8, 9 this morning, and then sweeping across. Remember, in this storm, we've got the possibility of high winds, hail, maybe even an isolated tornado. Daytime highs today, probably low to mid 70s. Tomorrow, sunshine and dry, temperatures again in the mid 70s, but rain back in the forecast on Sunday, and you can't count it out on Monday either. So today is the 24th day of May. On this day back in 1830, Mary Had a Little Lamb is published. The author, Sarah Hale. It became one of the best known English language nursery rhymes in history. Mary Had a Little Lamb, published on this day back in 1830. Some happy birthdays to actor-comedian John Reilly, 59. Priscilla Presley turns 79 today. Bob Dylan, still out on tour with John Mellencamp and Willie Nelson. They are coming to Wisconsin, as a matter of fact, in September. Bob Dylan celebrating his 83rd birthday today. And now you know. Well, neither rain nor hail nor thunderstorms will keep our dairy volunteers from putting on a good show as we kick off June Dairy Month across the state of Wisconsin. Green County first on the list. Yesterday, Charity Seebecker caught up with this year's hosts.
Wisconsin's very first dairy breakfast for the year is coming to Green County on Saturday, May 25th. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and I had a chance to visit Nymphs Dairy Farm in Monticello, the host of this year's breakfast. Jeff Nymphs, owner of the farm, shares more about what guests can expect on Saturday, but first, he tells me a little bit more about the history of their farm.
Our farm's been here in our family for 33 years, but we've been farmers. My wife and I have been farming for over 40 years. But there's 194 acres here. We raise all of our feed for our livestock, heifers, replacement heifers and cows, so alfalfa, corn for grain, corn for silage, alfalfa for silage and baled hay. So there's 70 acres of alfalfa, 70 acres of hay, and the rest would be like an oats and rye, winter rye. There's usually 50 to 55 head of cows, and replacements are within that same range, probably 40 head of replacement heifers between the 2 years.
And so what are some of the key milestones or even achievements then in your farm's history? Take me through some of those things that stick out to you.
My wife and I are the first ones on this farm in our family. So as far as milestones, that was the first one back in 92. That was a huge milestone just for our family there. So we've had some good cattle through the years, too. We've had a lot of fun with them. And kids show them at the fairs and stuff like that and state fair through the years. So
you mentioned you've been farming for about 40 years, all over. So with that, then, obviously you've seen quite a few things change within our agriculture industry. What are some things that stand out to you most of things that you've seen really just grow and the improvement in the industry?
On the crop side, I would definitely say the going from, you know, regular crops to a just herbicide resistant. That's probably a huge thing. Saves a lot of time in the field and so on and so forth like that. Strip cropping, so, you know, it's all about saving the soil for the next generation.
And what made you decide to be the host farm this year? Was it your idea? Did they come to you, or have you done this before? Kind of take me through that.
Yes, we didn't host this 25 years ago, and that was kind of the reason why we thought we'd try to do it again. It's been 25 years, and the reasons why we do it, it's a community thing that's good, and it's really good for the county. What it brings, producer and consumer together, it's, and put some education in there, it's a kind of a win-win situation.
What types of food are going to be served at the breakfast? Are there any maybe special or locally sourced foods being featured?
Yeah, there's coffee cake, there's applesauce, of course, sausage, scrambled eggs. Oh, gosh. There's a couple other items on that list. You know, I'm there for the ice cream.
Besides the breakfast, then, what other activities or attractions are going to be available for people bringing their families here to experience the farm?
Well, of course, there'll be small animal display. That's kind of huge for a lot of the families when they come out here. There'll be antique tractor display, half-size tractor display. Band will be out here playing. They'll, of course, be there. Crafters will be out there doing their thing.
Do you know roughly how many people are you guys expecting to come through your farm for this year?
Well, the number they always shoot for is 4,000. So they got to bring them in by car carriers, or they'll come individually in their own vehicles. So,
and how have you guys been preparing for the event as the host site or the host farm? We just had some recent pretty big storm and rains. I'm sure that potentially affected your preparation as well.
It extended preparation a lot, that is for sure. An extra day, but we got everything cleaned up. We want to make a good picture perfect scene for everybody that come here. So when the consumer comes here and sees where their food comes from, we want to make sure we give a real good impression.
Did you have any damage from the storm? Take me through what kind of an impact that had on you guys.
A lot of wind damage, of course. Wagons dip over, tree branches down on pasture fences, roof damage to the machine shed. They're dealing with that still. Other than that, just basic regular wind damage.
So during the breakfast, these people are coming through enjoying their morning. What is your guys' role then as the host farm family?
Oh, I would just say meet and greet as many people as we can and say hi and hope they enjoy the morning that they're having out there and the good food that they're having. And they just kind of were free to go wherever they think of. They go in the barn, sheds, down the field lane, you know, either wherever they like to go. It's their exercise.
Do you know just how many volunteers are going to be here in order to make this possible, if you had to give an estimate?
If I said 100, I might not have enough. I'd say probably 100 people. You know, and they get here early, and, you know, they start at 4 o'clock. And then they're probably here after cleanup and packing things away probably till noon.
And what does hosting the breakfast on the farm mean to you and your family?
It's an opportunity, again, like I mentioned earlier, to, bring that consumer out to the farm and give them a chance to see where their food is grown and produced. People want to see that now more probably than ever.
That was Jeff Nims, the owner of the farm, for this year's Green County Breakfast on the Farm, happening this Saturday, May 25th, from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. There will also be busing to and from the farm, leaving from the New Glarus High School and Walmart in Monroe, so that everyone can enjoy a delicious breakfast with some locally sourced foods. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Can you hear how she's smiling? She had such a good time visiting with the Nymphs. Again, thank you to all of our dairy farm family hosts that are getting things spiffed up and ready for the crowds. And thank you also to all of you volunteers that helped to make June Dairy Month happen in the state of Wisconsin. Thanks. All right, markets and overnight electronic trade this morning. What can I tell you? Not a lot going on as far as market movers. And remember, we're going into a three-day weekend. Currently, an overnight electronic trade, December corn's up a penny at 487. November beans down two right now at 1214. July wheat, 3 cents higher at $7 even. The dairy markets yesterday, barrel cheese dropped 3.25 cents to 199.75. 40-pound block cheese, that was up 2.5 at 186.5, while AA butter gained a penny, now at 312.25 per pound for that butter.
June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up a penny at $19.96. The July melt that closed 12 cents stronger at $19.99 a hundredweight. This weather is making it very difficult for a lot of farmers to meet the halfway point when it comes to planting or finish up. For those that have gotten things in the ground, there's concern about disease. We got an update this week from the UW Extension Service that said the heat and humidity has created head scab on our wheat. But about the only way we can control that with fungicide is if you can apply it with a drone. Have you ever heard of drone swarms? That's more than one drone deployed over the same farm field. It could be coming to Wisconsin if the FAA gives it a thumbs up. Coming up, Stephanie Hoff tells us more about drone technology in agriculture and drone swarms, what you need to be ready for flying over a farm field near you. That's coming up next as we continue our way through a finally Friday morning. So glad you're along with us. More at MidwestFarmReport.com now.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey. One of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the Raw Story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, Sandy Williams will be here for our regular conversation. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
It's an area drone service. They specialize in agricultural drones. He says this rule change for agriculture can bring benefits to the industry, such as reducing inputs and costs. First, I ask him just how prevalent drone technology is in Wisconsin agriculture.
It's growing significantly. Right now, about 5% of all farmers or farming type operations are beginning to utilize these small drones for doing work on the farm, whether it be the imagery side of things or actually spraying and spreading, which is now being done by the drones. Just kind of a little fun fact, in comparison around the world globally, in other countries like in Asia, where the rules are not quite as hard as they are here, they're up to about 80% of applications being done by small drone. So we've got quite a ways to grow.
I mean, you touched on it a little bit as far as examples, but who is best served by a drone and for what purposes?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's really changed over the years. So if we back up a bit, they really came out more popular in the kind of photograph and video side. But over the years, we've been able to use the other technologies that go along with that, like using drones, using the data that comes from them. So now we can do mapping. We can actually pull data and measurements out of that imagery that we have. And not only that, we're taking the drones beyond the camera and using the attachments. So we can do, you know, LiDAR imaging. We can spread seed by using a granular spreader. We can do sprays with the liquid tanks and the pumps and all the other technology that comes with it. So the idea of what a drone can do has expanded over the years.
The FAA did clear what they're calling drone swarms for agricultural use. What is a drone swarm in agriculture?
Sure. Well, and I'm very happy to say, first of all, the larger drones don't sound like a big angry bee nest. So that's already a good step in the right direction. As far as what swarms are, I mean, really, it's just like it sounds like. We want to be able to operate more than one aircraft. And we can do that already, but we need to have that ability with one single pilot. So the limitations that we see, especially in the agriculture side of things, is the capacity and the size of that tank. Right, can be multiplied if we can operate more than one aircraft at one time. So getting the FAA to kind of give us the approval in that direction is really going to help us expand the ability to make one person, one pilot, much more effective with the equipment that they have.
And now that you've gotten the go-ahead, have you seen a difference already in which, you know, maybe a farmer is purchasing more than one drone, or maybe a custom operator is purchasing drones?
Yeah, well, certainly. I mean, as far as like a go-ahead, that's a bit of a loose term right now because the FAA is very slow to adopt things. But what we have now is sort of that green light to say, hey, if you do want to operate more than one aircraft at one time, we've got, you know, kind of the steps and the groundwork in that might allow us to do that. And so we are seeing that with existing operators that maybe have one or two already. They're looking into that and think, well, how many more could we use and operate? And, you know, as far as like using these drones for a use case operation, our larger units are going to do, you know, around 50 acres per hour. So if you kind of take that term 50 acres per hour and think, well, could we do 200 acres per hour? You could if I had four, and so on.
So are these drones like synchronized all together, or do you have multiple remotes you're working at once?
So the ones that support swarming, which is most of them, really it's all just down to one remote controller. In fact, you have to look at it this way, is we're not actually flying it. We're really just there to take it off the ground. We're going to fill up the tank and switch out the batteries, but the drones are doing everything by themselves. So when you have, say, three or four drones flying at one time, they're just following a coordinated path, like a pre-programmed flight path, and you're just there to kind of keep things in track and tend to it. But it really doesn't need us for the most part.
Drones aren't cheap. How is a drone cost effective, especially when you decide to bring on multiple drones to the farm?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, drones certainly aren't cheap, and especially not the agriculture units, but sort of ironically, they are the least expensive option when you're comparing other methods of spray and spread application. So think about all the costs we have in, say, ground equipment, running a tractor, pulling that pull behind sprayer, all the maintenance costs that goes with that, and just the limitations that we have with that sort of, you know, vehicle as well. And then compare that to, say, airplanes and helicopters and things like that, where we could buy, you know, 10 or 20 drones for the price of just even a very cheap helicopter, let alone, you know, like an agriculture sprayer airplane. That's a whole nother level. So while they are expensive to most people, for people that need them, it's actually one of the least expensive options that they have, and actually one of the most effective options they can purchase.
Have drones been able to replace equipment in some cases? And do you have an example for a time that it has and been successful?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I like to look at it and think that a drone isn't necessarily a tool that's going to replace everything. It's like a tool in a toolbox. But just how good that is and how many times you reach for that tool is kind of what we're starting to see with the drones and how effective they are. So they are being used in some cases to completely replace existing machinery for the reasons already stated, the cost benefit, that, you know, more precision and having that kind of in-house capability. But we're seeing them replacing other equipment for the reasons that the other equipment doesn't do well. So for example, let's look at like a ground-based equipment, which is probably one of the least expensive alternative options to a drone. But if it's raining like it is today, the ground is wet. We can't really go out there effectively without slipping and sliding or sinking. And all that, we're running over, you know, the thing that we're trying to grow. So it doesn't make sense to go out there and run over a certain percentage of it to maybe improve a certain percentage of it. The drone can fly over seamlessly and do that without any problems. So we are seeing the evolution of drones taking over existing equipment.
Has this been able to work across commodities? I assume from what you've said, it sounds like row crops drones are really effective, but is it all row crops? What about specialty crops here in Wisconsin?
that's exactly where they pull ahead. Believe it or not, most people think that they're not being used for large row crop operations, but about 70% is being used for those large grain crops. But the other, say, 30% or so is being used in those use cases. So say, like, if you had an orchard, we can actually spot spray and identify the specific trees rather than just blanket spraying. That's one thing that we can do. And also just any other types of agriculture, I've even seen it being used, say, for like working with the DNR, doing invasive species control, where we're going out there and very specifically isolating a spot and just doing that spot spraying or a spot treatment. So we have a lot of use cases that goes beyond the row crops, and that's where the technology really helps pay off. It pays off both ways. Where you got large row crops, or if you have small orchard, it's all benefits that operation.
Preston Rice walking us through what's new with agricultural drones. The Federal Aviation Administration has made the first steps in green lighting drone swarms. This means allowing one pilot to operate multiple drones to replace the work of multiple tractors. Madison Area Drone Service is seeing drone usage grow across Wisconsin farms and commodities. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Shaw WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
More than you maybe ever wanted to know about food packaging. Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Jeff Brandenburg thinks about food packaging a lot more than the average person. His company in Massachusetts consults for food companies globally.
Food packaging, especially fruits and vegetables, but food packaging in general, is a much more complex technology than the casual observer understands.
While it may appear simple, Brandenburg says food packaging is rather complicated.
The single packaging choice can have many ecological repercussions, and sometimes they can be contradictory. So what's good for this application is not necessarily good for another application. And what is the most sustainable solution for one product or particular market might not be the same elsewhere.
And now, says Brandenburg, there's a growing focus on sustainability.
Sustainable packaging, especially with some of the new rules and regulations, has to be based in science. We have to move that science forward. We don't have all the answers right now. We have more answers than we did a year ago, and we'll have a lot more answers in another few years, but it's an evolutionary process.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by U.S. Supreme Court expert and attorney Daniel Cotter. I'll also be joined by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter James Causey. What is up with student-teacher affairs?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community.
Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you hear? A new study includes a village in the Waukesha area as one of the best places to retire in the country. BankingRates.com surveyed residents and officials all across the U.S. targeting towns with populations between 1,000 and 10,000. The village of Waukesha, just outside the city limits, has a population close to 8,500. The survey asked about income and quality of life with an eye on crime rates, and the village received high scores across the board, including the cost of living for retirees, an average of $3,500 a month. The village of Waukesha made the top 40, the only Wisconsin location on this specific list. Officials claim its semi-rural environment, the necessary services, and a low and affordable tax rate drawing people to the area. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. More Israeli hostages go home. Military spokesman Daniel Hagari has announced the bodies of three people captured on October 7th have been recovered during an overnight operation in Gaza.
It is with a heavy heart that I share that